What's good, everybody? This episode of the podcast is sponsored by DistroKid. They are the go-to for digital music distribution and the easiest way for musicians to get your music onto Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, TikTok, YouTube, and more. They offer unlimited uploads, and artists keep 100% of their earnings in stores 10 to 20 times faster than any other distributor. Fastest payouts. They help out with automatic splits, cover song clearance, and all kinds of other amazing tools and templates to help you get the most visibility for your releases. I dig this company and really appreciate their business model that offers more features than any other distributor at the most affordable price possible for solo musicians, bands, studio artists, DJs, and any other creators that are producing music in their home. And they also offer label services as well. They're distributing over a third of the world's digital music at this point. And the best part about DistroKid sponsoring the podcast is that they are offering Dan Cable Presents listeners 30% off your first year of membership, making their already affordable services even cheaper. Check out the link in the episode notes. I will also put it in my Instagram bio in the link tree. Click that link and it will give you 30% off your first year of service. Super stoked to have DistroKid sponsoring the podcast and can't thank them enough for their support of this thing. This episode of the podcast is also sponsored by Produce Row Cafe here in Portland, Oregon. This has become one of my favorite local hangs because they have free music every Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. and Sunday afternoons 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. They are located in inner southeast Portland. And not only do they offer free music on their large patio setup, but they've also got a killer brunch menu from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. The French toast and the breakfast sandwich are lights out. And I can't really do much alcohol personally, but I love their Virgin Bloody Marys. And they've got some other mocktails for folks like me as well. And they're always rotating in new seasonal cocktails. So come through and check out what they've got on deck for fall and winter down there. The patio is now nice, covered, and heated, and will be throughout the fall and winter. So come through, and big thanks to Produce Row for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Dan Cable Presents podcast. Thank you for tuning into the program once again. If this is your first time listening, thanks for checking out the show. You can find fresh episodes coming at you every Friday. And if you want to help support this thing in a free way, you can do so by clicking subscribe on iTunes, clicking write a review, giving the podcast 5 stars if you feel like it is deserving of so, and that will help propel this thing into the tops of those iTunes charts, which will give it more visibility on the national and international levels, helping strangers find the podcast and all that good stuff. Appreciate the hell out of all the folks that have already taken the time to do so. If you're not listening on Apple, just hit like, follow, subscribe wherever you are listening from. Tell a friend about the podcast. The cast is available on Spotify now, and I've also been dropping monthly playlists there as well every first of the month. And you can check out that May one is now available. Got a little bit different setup this week. We're just jumping right into it.
That was impressive that you just know all that shit.
I mean,
like, you didn't really even pause.
I've been doing it for 6 years. You know?
I appreciate it. Sometimes people take way too long about that stuff.
Well, sometimes I do. Okay. Sometimes we're not getting directly into the conversation. There's other things, but it's very rare. I don't remember the last time the guest has been like a part of the intro. So we're not even, there's no separation here. Cuzzo is on the mic.
You could give it 5 stars if you wanted to, but you could give it 4. I'd give it 4.5.
But we're doing a little tour diary episode out here. I've been given my first tour, my official tour manager gig by this lovely band called High Pulp out of Seattle, Washington, whom Cuzzo here plays drums for, and we've had many conversations over the years about High Pulp and other chats that you and I have done, but this is a especially fun one just to be out here on the road. We've never done any touring together, and this is really you know, I've done maybe like a 7-day right. where there's like 5 shows in a few states, but this is definitely like my first real tour, doing like 5 weeks and
full US. Yeah, we're 35 shows.
Currently out here in Cincinnati, Ohio, which we'll get into, has definitely been one of the highlights.
Has my fucking heart. Yeah. I tell you what.
Both of us are ready to move here. Mm-hmm. And this place has just been, like, last night we went to Skyline Chili, which is like an institution of Cincinnati.
Bang. It was so good.
I think Jake, whom we're staying with, told me that there's also a place called Gold Room or Golden Sun or something, and that's another chili spot. But the Cincinnati's deal is that they do spaghetti with chili on it, and you can get it a bunch of different ways. We went the full 5-way last night with the chili, the cheese, the onions,
and the fucking beans.
And the beans. Yeah. And just a pile of cheese on top of this thing.
And it's specifically sharp cheddar cheese, which I really appreciated when he said it was sharp, because, like, if you just put a bunch of regular cheddar cheese on it, it's not going to work, you know?
Yeah.
So he specified. He was like, yeah, it's sharp cheddar cheese. And that's when I knew that, you know, they know what they're doing. Oh, I would put it on penne. That was my only...
I think I would also appreciate that a little more.
You could do it a little more like al dente.
Yeah.
And because, you know, the noodles are good, but, you know, there's just spaghetti noodles.
Honestly, I thought the noodles were fine. I think if I went back, I would get like a chili cheese dog. You got the coney last night also.
I got the coney last night as well. Yeah, you know? I went in.
You did it up. I'm glad that we experienced it.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And I feel like that's something I've been hearing about over the last like 5 to 10 years about this whole Cincinnati chili situation.
I never heard about it until Minneapolis.
Just from listening to different comics talk on podcasts about the places that they go and whatnot. But the one thing about being out on the road like this that I'm impressed by, and this is this has been one of my favorite situations, is the crash pad, you know, quest of like trying to find as many places along our way that we don't need to get like a hotel or an Airbnb.
Yeah.
And I'm impressed by the willingness of folks to be like, sure, you have 9 people, because it's a deep crew. you know,
we have a fucking butt.
7 in the band. You got myself, and then you got Phil, the visual dude, who's also Rob Homan's brother which is you know, more family. Band.
And then Lucy was with us for a minute, and that's Andy's sister. So we had a whole
shout out to Lucy. Shout out to Phil.
A whole damn family thing going on. But people, you know, it's cool. Like when. I don't know. You just like, hit somebody up. I haven't even seen Jake, the guy we're staying with, for everybody since the pandemic at least. And I haven't seen him for probably 5 years. And he actually reached out to me and was like, yo, I live here now. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And then, just like, I don't know. It's really cool. It's just like you can feel that you're building a community. You know what I mean? Like, and even next time, if we don't stay here because we have enough money to afford a hotel, we'll still have like people here. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like. And that's what's been cool, is like everywhere we've been going, it's like we met some cool people in San Antonio, you know what I mean? We met some cool people in Dallas.
Yeah.
Pretty much everywhere we've gone, it's been like, oh shit, like I want to come back here.
Yeah, for sure. And like not just the willingness of friends, but families, you know, staying with the Homans in the Midwest and Chicago, and just like, it's a big ask and to let 9 people crash.
I also appreciate the willingness of the band to just be down to sleep on hardwood floors.
Yeah, if that's what it comes down to.
Yeah,
I think we've been pretty fortunate a lot of the time.
We have been really fortunate. But a few of the dates, because Mr. Dan picked up with us in Austin.
Almost 2 weeks ago, which is fucking mind-blowing to me.
That was 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. Wow. Almost, Monday will be 2 weeks. And it's Saturday. Yeah. So we're not far removed from that. It all feels like a blur to me already as far as the travel.
Yeah, everything feels like a blur. But that's, you know, it's... It's cool. It's,
in a good
it's really,
way.
Yeah, it's nice to sort of not know or really care what day it is. All you know is where you're going and if you have a show or not. You know what I mean? Sort of nice to... It simplifies things and complicates things in different ways. You know what I mean?
That's how I felt about it. It definitely, in a lot of ways, I think, simplifies my life. I think I was telling you this the other day, of just, there's not a lot of options. It's like we get on the bus and we're on the bus for 6 to 10 hours to where we're going. And I don't have like the option to be like, oh, I'm going to go meet this person, or I'm going to go play video games for a few minutes instead of doing my work. Or, you know, it's just, everybody kind of has to like compromise too on like what the situation is, and just kind of like get ourselves where we need to go. And this has definitely been an enlightening experience for me, who's been talking to musicians that have been touring for like the last 6 years, getting to hear stories. But now I really know. I understand the grind when people are like, what's tour like? And it's just like, it's exhausting. And like, this is a special, this is like one of the special days where we're not so in and out. Because a lot of times we roll, it's like, oh, what was city like?
We've been talking about doing this podcast since you got back with us. And it's like, this is the first time we've really been able to find time. Yeah. It's one of those special things. Like, yeah, like you're saying, what were you saying though?
It was just like, people will ask you like, oh, what was this city like? And like, I don't know. I saw a block of it.
Yeah.
You know, but like where today is like, we had a day off yesterday to drive to Cincinnati where the show is tonight. And we got to hang out here for a few hours last night, and the show, the load-in's not till 8 p.m. tonight, so we actually have a chance to go hang, and not really realizing that Cincinnati is on the border of Kentucky. So we hung out in Covington, Kentucky,
which was dope,
this morning. It was beautiful.
Yeah,
this is such a great place. But yeah, you really just don't always get a sense of a
where
place.
You are.
You know, it's like, oh, we're gonna try to hit a food spot, and then it's, you know, an hour later, it's time for the show to start, and then loading in, loading out, trying to find where we're staying. It's just it's definitely a grind in many ways.
It's cool too. Like, I feel like one thing that we've made a decision to do is like, we could have split up the drive yesterday into two parts, or we could split up the drive sometime into two or three parts. But I like just knocking that out so we do get the full day off somewhere.
Yeah.
Then you can actually like be somewhere, and it sort of like allows you to settle a little bit.
Right.
Because that's like sort of the hard thing when you're just constantly in transit. It's basically like, wake up wherever you wake up, gas station, drive, gas station, drive, get to the venue, go to play the show, go to a gas station after the show, and go to wherever the fuck you're sleeping. You know what I mean? You just go to the three different locations across many miles. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it feels like we're doing big living when there's the opportunity to stay in the same place two nights in a row.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
But I'll tell you, man, I feel very lucky to be out here with y'all, and it feels extra special. I guess I was kind of thinking that it's probably been about like 10 years where you and I really started forming this friendship and bond.
Yeah, that's
now.
Probably right. Yeah.
And that was around the time that you came down to LA for that first New Lungs tour.
That was my first tour ever when I was just turned 19.
Yeah, and I guess that's like around the time where our age gap of like 7 or 8 years became
less of a gap.
Yeah, it felt a little less substantial. And then I moved to Portland like maybe a year or two later.
Right.
And like since then, you know, you and I have been hanging heavy. And I just appreciate, I don't know, just all of the opportunities to be a part of the different circles that you've created in Seattle. And like, it's cool for me to be like, this being my first tour managing gig with this Pete, like, it's a bunch of people that I already know, you know.
Right.
It's like, feels like family.
It's
already,
it's home, it's safe. Yeah,
with the exception of Kaylee and Trevor,
right,
who haven't been in the band as long, so I'm like still getting to know them. But to have like that rapport with you, and like, I've known Twan for 10 years now, and so that feels like family. And like, I've known Andy and Rob and Vic for four or five years at least now, so
totally.
And it also just feels, I think, extra special because I remember the first time that I came to the jam when it was just four of you in the room doing this high pole
thing. In the basement.
In Scott's basement.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, like, to see the growth and, like, what it's turned into, and then get to see y'all, like, play sold out shows in Seattle where there's just like a gang of people there, and just to see what it's grown into is wild, man.
It's cool, man. I mean, that's humbling, and it's like, it's, yeah, I don't, it's like, of course you're a part of it, you know what I mean? Like, that's sort of how I feel like we operate, is just sort of like, you know, yeah, if you want to be a part of it, like, and you come in from the genuine, you know, place, and you work fucking hard, that's all we try to do. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's just, you know, sort of the recipe is like, yeah, I don't know. So it's been cool. It's been really humbling, like, to be coming to shows and stuff and just have people like know who we are. You know what I mean? It's the first time in my life. It's like that tickets have just actually sold themselves. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's not like we're playing huge shows and shit, but even if like you can be in Davenport or wherever we were and just be like, yo, some people like chose to come here tonight. You know what I mean?
And they
like
bought
that's,
some records.
That's cool. And, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and yeah, like, I don't know. That's, I think a part of that has been, you know, with the album coming out just recently and Anti pushing in and all of those, like, shit's been growing. You know what I mean? So it's been really like humbling to just be like, yeah, damn, like, even if, yeah, like people want to hear us play. And that's like so exciting because we want to play, you know, we want to play for people. We want to put our shit out there and, you know, let people see us go for things, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It's also like you were talking about the other day. It is grounding in some way to be around you in this environment. You know,
oh, yeah,
it's
to, like have
even
my
in those
cousin.
Uncomfortable yeah. moments, it's like, oh, totally. Cool. Like, yeah, just kind of like be tripping out on the bus, but glance over at you.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. Like, Dan's here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I might be in like fucking Davenport, like, you know, what the hell's going on? You know what I mean? But I'm like, okay. And that's like for the whole band. Like, you know, like we really all feel like a family, and, you know, it's nice because, yeah, the shit's just sort of like, one day it feels super normal and then the next day you're like, the fuck are we? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, what's going on? Like, we're like a month away from being back home. You know what I mean? Like, we still got a lot ahead.
We got a lot of ground to cover. We're in Cincinnati, Ohio, and we're going to finish up in New Orleans. And
yeah, but we're going
still got the
east.
Whole East Coast. Yeah. Yeah, we still got the whole East Coast to cover before getting to New Orleans. And I also
think we're like in the middle, basically.
Yeah. I also just really appreciate everybody's dedication to the craft, though, of like, people are finding the time to work on their instrumentation at times. It's like, hey, I'm going to go on the bus and shed a little bit and work on some pieces. Or like, I see Trevor almost every day sneaking away with his guitar and playing for like an hour. Yeah. And you
I've been
know.
Getting on the pad a little bit more, just being inspired by Trevor. I'm like, yeah, like, you know, because sometimes after 10 hours in the bus, like, just like I'm trying to go to bed, but it's like, yeah, you can just pull your pad out for like 15 minutes. You know what I mean?
Right,
like get a little shed in. And I feel like, yeah, that's like, that's not because anybody made us do that. It's because we want to do that. You know what I mean? Like, we just love playing our instruments.
Yeah.
You know?
And there's just like the constant conversations, even if, you know, I know it's a goal to often listen back to the set if possible, mm-hmm, but like, there's constant conversations post set about like, hey, I really like that you did this, or hey, don't do this next time. I want you to like anticipate this, or, you know, there's just a lot of talk around making the music. It's not like, oh, we got the tour and the work is done, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the thing that would just be boring. You know what I mean? Like the whole thing needs direction. You know what I mean? Because if we're just doing the same thing every night and we're just like checking out, it's sort of going to make the 6 weeks feel really long. You know what I mean? Whereas if we're playing every night and this is this thing we get to constantly check in with and develop, and it's this like living, breathing thing, it makes the whole thing way more exciting. It makes like setting up way less of a pain. Right. It makes breaking down way less of a pain because it's like, okay, we're actually doing something. You know what I mean? And we all want to get better, and we're still working out our set too. You know, we're trying to add more songs, trying to learn more songs.
Trying to rehearse and rehearse if you have an extra time and soundcheck, and sneaking that stuff in. But also it's just like, it's not even necessarily you're working on your instrumentation. It's like you're still trying to like work on music. You know, you all are messing around with your Digitex, on the bus, and watching you work on that stuff for like, I watched Andy was in the headphones
hours.
For like 8 hours yesterday, just working on stuff while we were driving. Yeah. And like, that stuff's inspiring too.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's that thing. I mean, I feel like, you know, we're just trying to take care of ourselves. And it's like, if you just spend all day looking at your phone, you know, like, that's not good. You know what I mean? So it's like,
it's easy to do that while you're on so the bus easy. All day.
I don't even want to know what my average has been. Oh, you know what I mean? But it's like, if I pick up the Dig Attack, like it feels like I'm reading a book or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, or just even listening to music and hanging out, you know, like just on the Bluetooth speaker or whatever and just talking, like instead of just looking at your phone. You know, I feel like that's the thing. We're just trying to figure out a way to get into a flow because it's such a long trip that if we don't, you can just start developing like bad habits. You know what I mean? It can get too easy to drink every night. It can get too easy to, you know, not try to go for a walk or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like taking care of yourself, ordering a salad. You know what I mean? Not looking at your phone
today.
For 10 hours on the bus, you know.
Yeah, it's
do
almost
some
like
Sudoku.
It's almost a blessing if your phone dies.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, I mean, we're out here sitting in front of a laundromat. You know what I mean? Like these are the things I love about tour. Is like, you know, you just really like feel like you're just moving all the time. You know, and nothing can stick to you. You know what I mean? Like you're just sort of always to the next thing. You're like a little in the air.
Yeah, I think that feels good to me. That. You know, aside from sneaking in the days where we get to stay in the same place for a day, it does feel nice to me that it's just like, all right, cool. We did that. Now we're moving on to the next place. And every day is kind of different in figuring out all the variables of the venue and dealing with different staff and all that stuff every night. And just figuring, because, it's like, it's that baseball field thing. You know, every stadium's different.
Exactly. It's like, what's the load in? Oh, there's stairs.
What's the stage like?
Oh, stage is tiny. Oh, shit.
How are you all going to fit tonight, you know?
Exactly. The whole thing has to be sort of improvisational. You know what I mean? Like the whole fucking tour, your whole mindset, which is crazy because, you know, when you come to the city, the people that are at your show are living a regular life. You know what I mean? Quote unquote, whatever. Like they're going to 9-to-5s and they got kids or whatever, and they're, you know, and we're coming from this whole other place that we've been describing, you know what I mean? And that's a really interesting thing that I've been thinking about, because it's just like, oh yeah, we're in just different locations. Like this is a Saturday night for some people, like, you know, and it's like people are excited to turn up, and I'm going to do the exact same thing tonight that I do every Monday and Tuesday too. It's just like play the show, you know what I mean? Like maybe have a drink, you know, but it's cool. I sort of like how it's not that intense, like, you know, weekend, weekday thing. It's just sort of this constant amount of, you know, freedom, but also just like responsibility, you know?
It's definitely interesting figuring out the personality dynamics with 9 people, you know, but I think it's also like, it's good to be in these types of situations where there is like, there's compromise that has to happen, and there's like a lot of like feelings that have to be communicated honestly so that resentment doesn't build up about dumb shit. And you know, sometimes you got to deal with like little tussles in between people just to get that stuff out. And
you fight like a family, you know what I mean? And like that means that you love each other, you know? And it's like you just have to deal with each other's bullshit, you know what I mean? Like you're just like, okay, well, but. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is our first, you know, we've done like 3 or 4 tours, but they've been 3 weeks at the most. So this is our first like full US thing. And this is our first time with Trevor and Kaylee. Kaylee's been on two runs with us. But just I feel like the whole thing is like starting to actually feel like a band for like maybe the first time in a certain way. You know what I mean? I feel like we finally have sort of figured out what we are live. You know what I mean? Just in the same way that I feel like we figured out what we are compositionally, or like, you know, what our identity is as a band with this new record. You know what I mean? Like Bad Juice never really felt like it was exactly that full part of what this vision was. It was just sort of this thing that happened. You know what I mean? We were doing it from a different place, you know? And it's the same thing with the live show, and the social dynamics come as a product of that too, where it's like, every night we're playing, we're getting to know each other better. You know, our playing gets better, our friendship gets better. Our friendship gets better, our playing gets better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I feel like, the social shit has been cool because, I was a little apprehensive about some shit. You know what I mean? Just like, oh, this much time with all these people. Like, and I love these people, but who knows how it's going to work out. And It's, yeah, I just feel like we all have that shared goal of just like doing this. So yeah, we're figuring it out because that's always the priority.
You get to know people a little differently too, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, we call them side quests in this band. It's fun. Like the side quests
we
are fun.
We talk about this whole tour is an RPG.
Yeah.
So like right now, like you, our party right now, like we're doing a side quest right now.
Yeah,
this
it's
is
just
podcast,
you and I.
And we have our party is just you and I. We had Trevor in the party.
We had Trevor for a moment.
Trevor had to go do another side quest because he's in school. So he had to do his homework.
Yeah, but it, like I appreciate those because those are, it's like, oh, I'm having one-on-one time with somebody that I don't really know on this level. Like
right.
I went to the grocery store with Kaylee one night and we did all the shopping for like the dinner we were making. And then
Kaylee's the shit. I love Kaylee. I love everybody in this band. I'm just like come to appreciate. I'm like, damn, Kaylee, like Kaylee never complains. You know what I mean? Like the only time she'll ever even request anything is a bathroom.
Yep.
Which Andy requests more, you know, or to go get these Jewel pods on the drive between Seattle and Bellingham. She always asks us to pull over, but it's like, yeah, I just am like, damn, like, you know, yeah, everybody in the band, like apart from the musical shit is inspiring, you know what I mean? For different reasons. And I feel like that's a healthy place to be looking at it from, because then you can always sort of be learning from your friends, you know?
So far, I found that I don't seem to need much alone time.
Me
for
neither.
Me personally.
Me neither. You and I are similar in
that
way.
I'm carving it out here and there. Like last night, well, I guess even last night, I thought I was going to have some alone time, but I ended up hanging out with Lynn all night, who's Jake's wife and hosting us with their wonderful family, and it was just nice to like bullshit with her for like 2-3 hours. We were just, you know, talking about life and everything going on. And
see, that's when like a new character just like appeared, like an NPC type thing, but that's like a whole new side quest, you know what I mean?
But they're like friends now, I feel like, already.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Like,
if I come back here, you say what's up.
Yeah, if I came to Cincinnati outside of like any of the High Pulp stuff, I would hit them up to hang out and whatnot. But yeah, those the side quests end up being as big a part of the adventure of like, oh, I went and got coffee with Vic this morning and we talked about shit that we hadn't talked about.
We had the whole COVID scare this morning.
Oh yeah, we had a COVID scare. The COVID shit is still alive and well. And we thought we had, you know, a positive in the band, and then we all went on a little PCR adventure. Fuck that cop. Fuck
that
guy,
fucking
dude.
Cop was
that
an
shit
asshole.
Made me so mad that we
I
were
sort
just
of like followed him a little bit. You like like I just like I don't know. I just was like, yeah, man.
I'm usually not somebody that like wants to necessarily like give someone in that position any like attitude, but I was just like not. I wasn't having it the way he approached us. Like standing outside of a PCR testing area, and there's 8 of us standing
just
outside
like, what
of
are
the
you guys
vehicle.
Doing here?
It's just like we're hanging out in the fucking corner store, like bullshitting. Like, dude, it's just like, yo, like
we're
this.
Getting a fucking COVID test. What are you doing here? Yeah, you know, like, yeah, that's fucking funny. It's like, dude,
protect and serve.
Yeah, you know,
it's finest.
So it goes,
but you know, for the most part,
shit's lame.
Things have been pretty smooth on the COVID stuff this time around.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Phil might be down and out, you know.
Well, luckily, Phil, you know,
Phil
departed for a week
out,
anyways,
yep,
and isn't
Wednesday.
Supposed to meet up with us until New York. But I'll tell you, man, I like the night before meeting y'all in Austin, I flew into Texas, and that night before, I was like a little kid on Christmas Eve. I couldn't sleep, man.
Yeah,
I was
dude.
So fucking excited to like get out here with y'all and just experience this thing. And
it's cool that you got to like just jump in when we were in Texas, because it's like that's even more exciting that you're already somewhere else, because you always start tour like, I don't know, like at least where this tour we were on the West Coast for a long time, you know.
Right
And it's like for me it didn't really feel like we were gone until we got to Texas, you know what I mean, because it's still all places that we've played or been or whatever. And it's like then we got to Texas and it's like, okay, this is new fucking territory, and you got to just jump in right there.
Yeah,
which is tight,
especially not spending any time in Texas. And this whole tour, like this is there's a bunch of places that I've never been, and by the time we're done with this there's probably going to be like 4 or 5 states that I
haven't
been
to.
Maybe 6 or 7 with Alaska and Hawaii.
Yeah,
but
those are states.
Can we talk about Terry Black's barbecue? in Dallas, Texas.
After we change our laundry.
We have to change our laundry. Good segue.
Hey, everybody. Just wanted to take a quick minute to let you know that this episode of the podcast is sponsored by North 45 Pub, located in the Alphabet District of Northwest Portland. They've got a killer selection of Belgian beers and an extensive liquor wall with over 200 bottles. Mussels and Fritz are on the menu. Their cheeseburger is lights out, and they've always got some killer weekly specials as well. Aside from the menu items and beverages, they've got this awesome covered patio that is heated throughout the fall and winter with a bunch of big screens to watch all your favorite sports. And the best part is they have DJs playing tunes there every Tuesday night from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. and Sundays 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. So come through North 45 Pub for some tunes and some food. Let's get back to the episode.
Getting my laundry done is a big checkpoint for me. This is a big checkpoint.
Yeah.
It's my first time.
Because you're the worst.
I'm the worst.
You are the worst.
Have you done your laundry?
I haven't needed to because I brought enough clothes.
Well, so you haven't done
so your this laundry. Is my first laundry run, but I've also been out here a week a week less than you.
That's true. I'm a week behind.
So here's the big thing I was talking to Trevor about inside the laundromat is that my big thing is having clean socks. I hate putting on socks that I've already worn. It makes me feel dirty.
Yeah, that's right.
And I know that they're like, they're the worst thing. Like if I take something off, like if I take a pair of boxers off, I'm not putting those back on.
No, that's how I am with boxers.
And that's how I am with socks.
Yeah, it makes sense that you like, I feel that, but my angle is putting on a fresh pair of socks is like a wonderful thing, but it's not a necessary thing.
Yeah, I just, you know, but that's why I brought enough socks too, like to stretch.
I could
to
use
stretch.
Some more socks. I've been wearing this Bucky's sock since I bought it.
Bucky's. All right, let's go in on Bucky's.
Yeah, we're getting Bucky's tats.
We're getting Bucky's tattoos by the end of this. Bucky's is a gas station chain in Texas, and it's like a, I don't want to say Walmart because I don't feel like it's.
It's just fucking huge. There's like 100.
It's
pumps.
Huge. Like you walk in, and there are so many different areas. Like there's a bakery.
Yeah,
there is an area where they are just cutting meat because there's like a full barbecue, like dope barbecue sandwiches for like $7. You can get a brisket sandwich that is like outstanding,
and they're just made like you just grab it. There's no line or anything. You
can buy kitchen supplies. They're selling Traeger grill, like smokers outside of this Bucky's. It was incredible. It was huge, very impressive.
I love the little logo. The guy,
the logo,
the mascot.
The logo is great. But one of the most exciting things about being on tour is being in all these different cities and trying to just like the priority, aside from getting the shit loaded into the venue, is finding good food in these cities.
Yeah.
And there was a little Texas barbecue tour, but I feel fortunate that I was a part of the part of the Texas trip in Dallas where we did go
the
to
best
Terry Black's.
I've ever had.
I agree.
Specifically the Dallas location, because I've heard that they put that place has like gotten pretty big and they got a location in Austin, and people were saying that the like Dallas one is specifically where it's at.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was like $50, but it was worth it.
All got way too much food. Like probably could have gone.
I was happy with it. I was happy. Yeah. I got the cobbler too.
Yeah, the cobbler was crazy. Yeah, that's just like one of those. It's like cafeteria style where it's just like, you just go down the line and tell them what you want. There's no like set plates or anything. There's not even like set meat. You just tell them, I want a quarter pound of this whatever. But yeah, that was maybe the best brisket that I've ever had, as well as the pork ribs.
Yeah, the ribs were insane. That was just like, yeah. I mean, I feel like we want to see something about each city. And when we only maybe have an hour before, like seeing it through food is probably, you know, one of the, It's a good way that's like, you know, can actually be, I don't want to say authentic, but you know what I mean? It can actually be like a fucking indicator of what the city's like if you go to the right spot. You know what I mean?
And Dallas was cool, man. That was another spot where we had a full day off and we were staying with the homie who worked at the comedy club.
Yep, shout out to Connor.
So Connor had us there. that was like a very funny staying situation. That was like one of those spots where nine of us are staying in a one bedroom apartment.
yeah.
But
on like the fucking 10th floor or something with a crazy view.
Yeah, we went to the comedy club where Connor worked and got to watch the open mic, which I absolutely love watching open mic comedy because there's nothing more funny to me than watching people bomb. And I cannot refrain from laughing while they're bombing.
You would just look at me with this look every time and it would just be like, you'd just be like, your eyes would be like, you'd be looking at me like, can you fucking believe this? I was like, yeah, just like this look of pure joy and just like, yeah, just hilarious.
So good.
There were some good comedians. Stand-up comedy is like inspiring just because you're naked. You know what I mean?
It's
like
the boldest
you're naked
thing that you can
there.
Do art-wise, yeah, I think, yeah, in a lot of ways. You know, there's no instrument to hide behind.
Just going to try to make you laugh. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, yeah, your intention is to be funny.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not to be, like, smart. It's not to be interesting. It's to be funny. Like, that's a hard bullseye.
Oh, Dallas, man. That was the first night that I tried to sleep on the bus. Because I thought I was going to get better sleep somehow, not sleeping in the one-bedroom apartment with nine people. And I tried to sleep in the driver's seat of the bus. And that was when I realized that I'm almost 37 years old and that I'm not 20 anymore, where like I feel like I've slept in the car, no problem.
You said you were going to do that, and I was like, all right, man, power to you. Like,
That was a night that I didn't really sleep. That was the roughest night for me.
That was a rough night
that
of sleep
made me
for me
question
too.
My decisions about to come. Even being out here. I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
What am I doing with my life?
It was on a slant too. Like, you know, I don't know. Twan and Vic, they're the two that sleep on the bus every night.
Respect.
The seats come up. Yeah. Respect for sure. And you know, it's safer for the shit, for our gear, and it's also, you know, nice that we don't have to ask people to put up nine people. Yeah. Seven's already enough.
I also just respect, though, that they do it when it's not necessary. When there is room for them.
No, I think that there's a thing about it. Like, this is, like, their room at night. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, where, like, we have different rooms every night because you're in a different place, you know? And they get to come back to the same place whether they're in, you know, L.A. or fucking Philly, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. What's been like maybe something else that has stood out to you food wise besides this Skyline Chili and that Terry Black's?
I gotta think about where we've been. I had really good barbecue, I thought, in Albuquerque. Actually,
I was not around for that yet. Yeah, the windstorm.
Yeah, that was some bullshit. It was like you couldn't see, like literally couldn't see like 8 feet in front of you. It was like it was intense. It's like just, we were on the freeway and that shit. It's crazy. Yeah.
And like to reference the RPG thing, it's just like all very like character building. I feel like each day presents something different. And yeah, just like my first day behind the wheel of the bus was one of those days, but also just like excited that I got to drive and it kills time in a different way. But
yeah,
it's, you know, it takes a few minutes to feel comfortable behind the wheel of this thing.
The bus is big. It's big. And, you know, I do think it's safe, knock on wood. Fucking, you know, I feel like we take it real seriously. But, man, when that wind starts going, damn.
Like, it's intense, man.
Yeah. It's even more intense in the back.
Like you were saying, yeah.
Yeah, like, because you'll be in the front seat and, like, something will sort of push the bus a little bit. Yeah. And you're like, okay, you know, recenter or whatever. And then in the back seat, it's just like, we're going off the fucking
road.
You know what I mean? Like,
and to be mindful of that as the driver, you know, that was like one of the first things you told me on the day that I was driving. Like, hey, if you are experiencing
something,
like,
we're going something, through it.
Yeah, if you're holding onto that steering wheel and it's shaking, we're really fucking moving back there.
Yeah. So it's funny trying to make beats on the Dig Attack when I'm, you know, just we're on the freeway and I'll just be trying to like play something, you know, like record it live. And it's just like so hard because we'll just like go over a bump and my hand will hit it like twice. Or it'll be like out of time or something. I'm like, it's a fun little challenge.
Yeah, that was my battle with trying to like edit podcasts on the bus. It's
trying
just
to
like
use the computer.
It's too
hard
to like try bouncing. To do that shit. It feels like it's taking me twice the amount of time to try to edit things together and just like make those precise movements with the mouse and everything.
Right.
It's just like, oh, this is not.
It's good. It's good for the shed, though. If you just like push through and figure out how to do it, it's like if you were to like train up in like Colorado and then like go like run and at a regular altitude. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like you'll be real good at working on your computer when you're not on a bus that's bouncing.
Yeah, for sure. Coco Shrimp in Fort Worth, Texas was also
Coco
very cool.
Coco Shrimp was
different spot that than I had been to.
That was the highlight of Fort Worth for me.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know? That venue was very cool. Yeah. It was Main on South Side was the venue, and it was really nice.
Main at South Side. Yeah,
very cool venue. But yeah, that
Coco Shrimp.
That Coco Shrimp was very, very good.
Illuminati's.
Illuminati's. Lou Malnati's. We had the Lou Malnati's deep dish in Chicago, which is
good.
Like my preference for deep dish pizza.
My Chicago friends were giving me shit for getting deep dish. I was like, I think that shit's good.
Yeah.
I was like, you guys fucking, I don't know. Is that
I've
a thing?
Well,
Chicago
there's like
don't
the
fuck
thin
deep
crust
dish?
Too.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that, cut the pizza in a square. Like
the
square
thin?
Slices on the square pizza or on the thin crust
that's
pizza.
That's a Chicago
which
thing?
Which is actually how I preferably cut my pizzas at home.
That's
if
how
I make
Costa
a pizza
Bianca
at home,
does it
I like
my neighborhood.
I like it that way. But Chicago in general, like we really experienced that Midwest hospitality. As soon as we had a night before the show in Chicago and we six of us went down and hung out in Logan Square and we went to that bar, Kohl's.
Went to Kohl's.
So cool. We just met the nicest people there.
Adrian
was so nice.
Had the Super Smash set up.
Yeah, he had a video game night going.
Oh, let's go. Fuck yeah.
We just played Smash and Mario Kart for hours and he had pizza and was just like buying us drinks. And then he came out to the show the next night and Chicago, man. That city
is
special to me.
Yeah, that was fun playing at Shuba's. You know, I don't know. It's just like a lot of inspiring people have played there, you know, and that was a fun one for sure. I also, you weren't with us for Chico, but Chico was dope. That was the first show of the second run, you know, and it was a Friday night and it was raining and we were just like thinking to ourselves, and it was a small venue. We were thinking to ourselves, all right, well, you know, it'll be a good way to start out, you know, the tour we haven't played for a week and blah, blah, blah. Out of nowhere, fucking everybody comes, and the crowd was very stoked, and there was a dope local, and yeah, it was a good way to like start off the vibes, you know, where I feel like at this point we've had like more shows than not where we're like pleasantly surprised with the turnout, you know what I mean? And like that feels good, and especially what feels good is the people that have been seeing the shows have been seeming to like it, you know what I mean?
For sure.
Like,
yeah, we were in Minneapolis the other night playing the Hook and Ladder, which the staff of that place and Shuba's were just all incredibly nice. But
Midwest, man, the Midwest is some real shit.
That shit was a trip, man. The Hook and Ladder is directly next door to the precinct that was burnt down during the George Floyd stuff.
Yeah.
And
yep.
That presented some energy, man, just like being in the spot, knowing like, hey, like down the street is where
this shit happened. Yeah.
Where the George Floyd stuff went down and like seeing all the stuff that was broadcasted on the news and just kind of being in the epicenter of that.
Minneapolis,
you know,
is a special city. Like that was my first time back because that's where I, you know, was there for 4 years. And that was my first time back in like 5 years.
Yeah.
And I was like emotional getting there.
For sure.
You know what I mean? I was like, oh man, like this.
Memory lane.
Cool. Fuck me. Yeah. Like,
it was fun driving down the streets of like where McAllister is and just like listening to you like, that's the place where I smoked weed for the first time.
Yeah,
or like,
yeah.
This happened over there.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Like, oh, this
exactly.
is where I rode
I
my
used
bike.
To live up there. Yeah,
this is where
yeah.
I blacked out on my bike.
yeah. Those college days, man.
Yeah. I also had Ethiopian food for the first time.
That's crazy to me that you've never had Ethiopian food.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck, why people aren't telling you.
I don't know, but it was great because I was with, you weren't there that night, but I was with like four of the other bandmates or maybe five of them. And we just like all broke bread together. And it's just like, it was a very communal like night of eating with just like eating off these two plates.
The
and
huge platters.
Eating with your hands.
Love that shit. Yeah, man. That's, you come, you know, it's nice when you get to have a big meal like that and sort of realize like, well, we're all here together still. You know what I mean? We're all fucking... You know, long way from home, but
for sure, man,
feels comfortable.
I think one of the big trips for me so far was going to Norman, Oklahoma. One, because yes. we got to stay with my friends, Benja and Natasha. Shout out to them because they were also like these people that let all of these folks roll into their house, and they have like a really cool property in Oklahoma City. And I met Benja and Natasha back in Portland, like, I don't know, 7 years ago. And I knew that this whole crew came from Norman, Oklahoma, this band Adverse Effects, who I had on the podcast episode 31. It goes way back in, like, some of my favorite people that I've met in Portland. But Boyd Littell was the drummer for this band, and he passed probably like 4 years ago now, and was one of these dudes who just had like such a big impact on me. Anytime I was in the room with him, you just had like his full presence when you were speaking to him, and just learned a lot from him. And one of those people that would come out to shows that I was throwing, and if Boyd told me, hey, that was a cool show, like, I felt like I was doing something right. You know, like, his validation was huge, and just the way like he operated with people, and I know like the impact that he had on folks in the scene. But yeah, I was most excited to know that we were going to Norman, Oklahoma, the home of these people that I had gotten to know, and to know that like their history there. But Boyd was just like kind of a pillar of this community, and we got to go by the mural. Yeah, there's a mural in Norman at this bike shop, on the outside of this bike shop, that he was heavy into biking, and that's how he unfortunately died. He had a really bad bike accident and then walked away from it and ended up falling asleep in a park and never waking up. But to get to be there and like kind of know where their roots came from, and get to spend time with Benja in that city, where like he and like the rest of the group really like cut their teeth at this place called the Deli. And I've always heard about the Norman Music Festival from them, and to know that y'all were playing like a cool slot at the festival.
That was maybe the most fun show of the whole tour so far. That was
big crowd out there, and everybody seemed like they were really digging it. But yeah, there was definitely something impactful for me to get to be in that place. And like, it's like, I know he would be stoked that I was there under those circumstances, and you know, get to see the place where they kind of grew up and whatnot was very cool. So I was pumped about that.
Yeah, I feel like every city that we've been has had some sort of, like, I don't know, even Davenport. Like, shout out Davenport. It's where Big Spider Beck is from. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, I don't know. Every single show has, like, had some, and city has had some, like, at least something, like, cool about it. You know what I mean? Something to ring out. You're only there for 12 hours. You know what I mean? Like, something to check out, because people fucking live there.
Sure. And even if like maybe the show isn't great or like well attended, the hang is still usually like really good. And like we've got Jared Mattson and his crew,
shout out to Jared,
on the tour as well, and it's
shout
been fun
to
get
knowing.
Joe
shout
is
out to
a
Lexi
mainstay
and
killing
Jay.
It on the drums, and like his Tony. You know, he's got a squad of bass players on the tour, so that's always like, it's fun that a new person gets introduced, it seems like, every couple weeks and whatnot.
I gotta say too, touring with them, and specifically like touring with Joe, man, I fucking love the way he plays, and it's been so fun to be able to watch every night. You know what I mean? Because I'm just like, I'm learning. You know what I mean?
Incredible drummer.
Him and I like we'll just like talk drums and trade shit, and like I feel like that's like a really like, I don't know. I always crave that, you know, and I had that more when I was younger and in school and shit. But, you know, to find other like drummer friends is like, oh, fuck yeah, we get to play every night.
Hoping to do a cast with Joe, a one-on-one, by the time this is over.
He's everybody's got to go to No Pulp Records.
No
in
Pulp
New Orleans.
Records. That's also very funny that his record store is called No Pulp.
So serendipitous. Yeah. And I mean, the thing I got to say, did I tell you the Telemachus story?
Yeah.
Okay. I got to tell that story though, because
we'll wrap it up with this.
Yeah. This is the serendipity of just the shit that Joe's record store is called No Pulp. You know what I mean? Another example of that serendipity is we're pulling into Davis. Kaylee's got some place that we're staying at. She knows somebody. And we get there and we walk into the house, and on the record player is this Telemachus record. And I knew this Telemachus record because if you go to like, it's like a very like whatever the Spotify algorithm says, you also like Telemachus if you like High Pulp. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Number one on the
first one
on the recommendations.
And I was like, you know, if you ever like, I was like, oh, who the fuck is this? You know, so I got hip to his shit a while back, and it's super dope. And he serendipitously does music with my friend Mitch. Shout out Mitch, who lives in Brussels, which is a random connection. And also randomly had Thomas Pridgen on his album, right? Who we were doing a Bandcamp thing with the next day. But all that shit aside, we get to the spot. There's a Telemachus record on the record player. This dude that's already come up in so many like random, you know, ways in our lives already. And I'm like, oh, you know that Telemachus stuff. And Tabib was like, yeah, that's my roommate. I was like, what the fuck? I didn't even know this dude lived like in California. You know what I mean? I didn't even know where this dude lived. And it's like, you're in Davis, you know, and we're happening to stay at your place. And I was like, this shit is crazy. And then so, you know, just so serendipitous, you know. And I feel like when you start to see things like that keep happening, I don't know, it just is a good energy, you know.
Yeah.
Like it's cool. It you just keep trusting it, you know.
Or is there was when we played the Chicago show, some dude was in a real old High Pulp shirt.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He came up to me and bought a record, and he was like, man, when I moved away from Seattle, I never thought I would see High Pulp again. And then I saw they were playing in Chicago tonight, and he was just like super hyped about that. Or
that's
just
cool.
The little shit. Like when we're in Kansas City, I got a pizza at this spot, and really good pizza. I can't remember the name of it, but I had to give my phone number, and the dude was just like, oh, are you from Riverside? And I was like, yeah, I'm from Corona. And he was just like, yeah, me too. And I was just like, fucking weird, man. In the middle of
Kansas City. It's like, what are the odds that today we go to this restaurant?
Like, he had to be working that day.
Yeah, the guy that is promoting our show is working at the restaurant, and it's in a whole different part of town. You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah. God, you know. So, I don't know. It's all been a blessing, man. It's all been fun. And I just hope, you know, every single night, like, if we're playing to like 15 people, which we've done on this tour, or if we're playing to 500 people, which we've done on this tour, like, we're going to put it out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're just going to keep going for it and make it worth it, even if you're just the one person there, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's what makes it fun for us every night. You know what I mean? And, you know, so if anybody does, you know, come out, come say what's up, come hang out. Come
by the merch booth. Say hello to me.
Come slide through
my
the merch
office.
Booth. Yeah, you'll see Cousin Dan
my
at
evening
the merch
office.
Booth.
Yeah, it's nice. I have a different office every night.
Yeah, it's just it's been humbling, and it's really, yeah, it's just like it's cool. So
yeah, man.
To anyone that has been to a show, we say thank you. Anybody that's gonna come to a show, we say thank you. It's, you know, we don't take the shit lightly.
Yeah, it's fun to watch y'all just kind of tighten up. Every night too, it just gets tighter and tighter, and maybe the energy is a little different, but to get to watch it every night is mm-hmm. is fun for me, man, because it's, yeah, it's inspiring, and it's cool to see like the solos be different. There's mm-hmm. That particular moment where you and Andy always mm-hmm. have that
just
back
the
and
duo
forth
thing. Yeah,
and I love that moment in the set.
It's what we do. Andy and I do that in my garage every day in LA. Like, we just play drum sax duo, and we just play like tunes. So it's fun that we worked at, you know, worked into the set a way that we can just sort of go open like that.
Yeah, and like with the shit that Twan's doing with the modulars, that mm-hmm. stuff is always so,
it's bananas,
you know, different.
Yeah.
And never kind of know what's going to happen with that because the manipulations mm-hmm. are so like intricate.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been wonderful, and shout out to Jonathan at Anniversary for booking this whole thing, and like, and again, shout out to Jared, cuz like, we could be doing all these dates with people we didn't fuck with and
yeah.
music we didn't like, but we genuinely love the music and we genuinely love them. So that's another thing where it's just like, okay, wow, damn. You know, we got the world ain't so bad after all.
Yeah, man. It's been killer. I feel, like I said, I feel lucky. I feel super grateful. And like, it's a good thing to like check yourself too in the times that are like not always so great being out here. I just always try to remind myself, like, hey, remember why you're out here. You know,
yeah.
You're out here to, you know, be involved in this music.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm not at home doing some 9-to-5 that I hate, and there's battles with all of it, you know. There's going to be the ups and downs of not getting to sleep in a bed that you're comfortable with every night.
Or a bed at all.
Yeah, or a bed at all.
Yep.
But
and just trying to figure out how to eat healthy.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out those Wendy's salads. That's the hack.
Wendy's salads.
Wendy's salads.
Not Culver's cheeseburgers, Midwest. I love you, Culver's. That cheeseburger is fucking great. Get rid of the crinkle fries.
Yeah, the crinkle fries are
waste. They're not even bad. They're
dumb. They're as good as crinkle fries can be. You
crinkle
fries.
I don't know who
keeps them in business.
If you like crinkle fries,
please
email
in.
Me, DM me, let me know, because I want to
I want to see the light. Let me know. Yeah, I'm open.
Yeah, and where do I get good crinkle fries if they exist? But for now, I don't really get down, and I'm not excited when I see them as a part of the menu. So.
So go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Go fuck yourself. What should we play it out with?
Oh, whatever, man.
Should we play it out with some Telemachus?
Yeah.
Show some love for someone else.
Yeah, play it out for Telemachus.
You know? Yeah, play it out with a little Telemachus. I had a jam on my on one of the playlists this year, which was cool also that there was that connection, because I knew about Telemachus before, without knowing any association with the high pulp stuff.
I posted something, and then you responded to
it.
You were like, Telemachus is dope. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I got a story for you.
So shout out to Telemachus. Thank you to everybody that's been kind enough to put us up in their homes and all the venues that have taken care of us. I'm excited for this East Coast leg. Lots of places I've never been to. So
never been to New York.
We're coming back. We'll be back with more tour diary updates. And we're also going to an NHL playoff game, Pittsburgh Penguins in Pittsburgh in 2 nights. And I'm so fucking hyped that I love that you and I are both on the same page about if we have an opportunity to see a sports arena, we're going.
Yeah. And I don't give a shit about hockey, so I'm really excited.
I'm excited to take you to a hockey game.
If I'm ever going to learn how to give a shit about hockey, it's going to be at a fucking Penguins playoff game. You know what I mean? I'm excited.
Absolutely. All right. All the links will be in the episode notes. Keep up with High Pulp. We're on this tour until May 26th. It wraps up in New Orleans, and there's plenty of dates to hit that new record, Pursuit of Ends. Pursuit of Friends is now available, and we have the vinyls on tour. The exclusive vinyls are with us, the colored ones, and hopefully.
Oh, and also, we're be on the lookout for a new shirt.
New shirt
by Robert Beatty.
Robert Beatty did the art
for
the record too, right? Which is killer.
We're
gonna
be dropping those soon.
Stay tuned for that stuff. Check into the High Pulp website for the
hats,
the shirts. Those are
we're working on a hot sauce too, baby. We got angles. We got irons in the fire.
There's irons in the fire. And if you can't see High Pulp on this tour, stay tuned for end of summer dates.
More dates
as well. And appreciate y'all for listening. Will you sail us out with It's a Program?
It's a Program.
He nailed it, everybody.
It's a Program,
that's
baby.
My cousin.
I've done it a million times.
That's my dude. One of my best friends.
God bless.
Happy to be out here with
God
you, man.
Bless.
I
likewise,
appreciate
man.
You for taking me along on the journey. And
well, you now have a job for
God,
the rest
I got
of time.
A lot of fucking...
You got another
I didn't
thing
know
to
there's
do.
Going to be so much work to be done. I thought I was just going to get to sit on the bus all
yeah,
day.
Yeah, I always just order you around.
It's not a free
so you need to email this person.
Email these people. They're not doing their shit. All right, we'll catch you on the flip side, everyone. That's the Jelly Jams, and catch you next time. Want to give a big shout out to DistroKid for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. Can't say thank you enough to DistroKid for their support of this thing. And make sure you go into the episode notes and find that DistroKid link to receive 30% off your first year of membership with DistroKid, making their already affordable prices, even cheaper for you. So make sure you take advantage of that. And the link is also in the link in my Instagram bio on the link tree. So you can find it there as well. Big thanks to DistroKid. Stay up, stay tuned.